All right, guys. Well, we are excited to have another episode of our Ethos series that we're doing. And again, as we talk about the ethos of the church, our church, one of the things that I've been so excited about is that you guys get a chance not just to hear about the different ministries, but you get a chance to meet some of the different ministers, the different people that God is using in our church. And our goal on Thursday nights is we want you guys to be able to hear both testimony, some of the exciting things that have been happening because, well, God is doing an amazing work in our church and in the community, and we want you guys to get to see some of the faces. We want you to be able to connect some of the leaders because I have a feeling as God is growing our ministry, as he's growing the heart of the people in our church, well, he might just want to connect you to some of these things. And so every Thursday night, as we're getting into this Ethos series, we're talking a little bit about God's heart for the church, as well as God's heart for our church, Calvary Chapel Fullerton, and wanting you guys to begin to see how the things that we're doing, the places that we're scattering seed, the areas that we're investing in ministry really are aligned with, well, God's vision, what he's given us for the church. So, hey, we're going to jump right in tonight. I've got three amazing servants that are here tonight. Maybe you guys know them. Maybe it's a little bit of an introduction. So let's do this. Let me let you guys introduce yourself, and then we'll talk in a minute about some of the different ministries. And you guys all have like different ministry hats. I could be talking about Connect Group leaders, our retirement home ministry. We've got quilting ministry, helping hands, Spanish ministry. Like, we would run out of hats if we tried to name them all. But tonight we're going to focus in on just kind of a specific few, and we'll have you back for another night so we can share in full some of the other exciting stuff that God is doing. So, Noah, why don't you start off? And just for those that don't know who you are, why don't you introduce yourself and your bride, and then we'll go from there. You're going to have to use your mic, though. Otherwise, I'll hear you, but the people listening online won't.
I'm Noah Fredrickson. This is my bride, Becky. And we are Noah and Becky Fredrickson. So we are with the Helping Hands Ministry, and that entails a few other things, but we'll get into that. So,
What he said.
Yeah. And how long have you guys been connected to Calvary Chapel Fullerton? Because you go back with Logos and when that started, as well as, you know, both of you guys have now been serving connected at Calvary Fullerton for some time.
Yeah, and when did Lisa and Bill take off?
Yeah,
well, I've been at this Calvary for probably about 10 years now.
You blink and we go,
yeah, 15 years. Yeah.
So, awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I came to Calvary Fullerton in 2010. So, yeah, it's been a while.
We're glad that you
have. And then I left for like 3 years with Logos, but I would still come to the women's Bible study every Thursday morning. And then I would come on Thursday evenings to the service. But then I would do Sundays at Logos, and then I stopped coming on Thursday evenings because Logos started having other stuff, you know, classes and things like that on Thursdays. But then the Lord had a plan and brought somebody into my life, a blessing into my life. And so I came back once Noah and I got married. I came back to Fullerton full-time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been excited as that's been a neat bridge as we watched, especially during the pandemic, you know, Pastor Franklin and the team, you know, really kind of become a huge part of so much of what we were doing in the city. And then as we'll talk a little bit later, Helping Hands, how all of a sudden you were right back in being a bridge, you know, to so much of what we've been able to do as a church, you know, there into the community. So kind of cool how God weaves these stories together.
It's interesting and it's exciting how he works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I use the phrase weaving loosely as we get ready to set up Miss Tony's ministry here. So that was a good lead in. Tony, we have been so grateful for you and Don and for how God has just planted you guys here, but you were a transplant from, was it Arizona where you guys were just transitioning? But it was like back to Orange County, right?
We were in Orange County, and then we moved to Henderson, and we've been back about 3.5 years. Becky knows more than I do. She has it to the day.
She's like, down on this moment. Yeah. Well, we've all been so grateful for the gift of hospitality and ministry. Absolutely. You guys, like, hit the ground running. God planted you here, like, at a perfect time as we were all in transition. And these ministry moments, you know, just opened up. And there you guys were like, hey, we can do that. We can get involved. And lo and behold, you know, the door is really, really opened up to see God do some really amazing things with you guys.
Absolutely.
So, well, we'll come back because obviously there's stories. The ministries that you guys are doing are a part of a bigger story. I mean, the sewing is one part, but that's, you know, that's been something that God's put on your heart and used, you know, for some time. It wasn't just like recently where we're like, I've got an idea. Mm-hmm. And the helping hands and the various things that we're doing is part of something that God has called you guys, laid on your heart as a story of ministry. So I'm looking forward to hearing, you know, even more about that, about where God began to like put his finger and say, hey, I'd like you to, you know, this is something that I've given you a burden for. But for those that are watching who have maybe never heard us, maybe we talk about helping hands. Tonight might even be the first time where people are like, we have a sewing ministry? I didn't know that, you know?
Quilting.
And the quilting and the things has been really kind of under the radar, except for the people that have got them. It's been life-changing for
Absolutely.
Some of the people that have got them.
Absolutely.
And it kind of goes hand in hand. That's kind of why tonight we wanted to share, because this has really been, you know, a partnership of grace and blessing. And so we kind of went like, all right, well, let's get both of these stories together.
Yes.
But what, for those that are watching, what is Helping Hands? What is it that you guys do?
Well, if we could, we would like just to start off briefly, and then maybe we can turn it over to Toni, and she can kind of take the lead with the quilting ministry.
Sure.
And then we can come back and kind of get into our stories.
Okay.
She has an amazing ministry that's going on, and we would be blessed to hear the story behind it. And it's funny because for the longest time, I heard Toni. Mm-hmm. We're going over Toni. We're doing this, Toni. And I never had a face with the name. And then the other night, circumstances connected us. And I go, oh, there really is a Toni. It's not just a myth or a legend.
Well, for all yes. of you guys, when we talk about hosting a lot of our women's events, and we've got a Connect group over there, and we say, it's over at Toni's house. This is the Toni.
The Toni.
That we're talking about. But as exciting as all the hospitality stuff is, this quilting ministry has been something that God has given you a vision for, a burden for, even before Calvary Chapel Fullerton. This is not new for you, right?
This is not new to me. It's really part of my testimony. We moved to about 13 years ago. We moved to Henderson, and we retired. We moved to Henderson, and I did not know a soul. I did not have any family, and I thought, well, it was around Easter time. I thought, well, I'll go to the. I was not part of a church at all, kind of fallen away from the church, and so why not go to Sin City? it was the. Easter Sunday, and I thought, well, maybe I'll go to church on Easter, and they happened to have a quilting ministry there. And the next day I called and joined the quilting ministry. I still didn't go to church, but I did go to the quilting ministry. And I was sewing these quilts. I started reading the scripture. And as I read the scripture, I just got more and more into the scripture, and I thought, maybe I need a Bible. And I got a Bible, and then I started going to church, and the quilting ministry just became such part of my testimony that God brought me to Sin City, and he met me right where I was. He met me at my sewing machine. He knew that sewing was my love, and what more to get God's word into something I love is at the sewing machine. So that Easter Sunday, a year after, I rededicated myself to the Lord on Easter Sunday. And so the quilting ministry, God brought me back to him with the quilting ministry. So it's very near and dear to my heart because it reminds me of how far I've come. And mm-hmm. when I see the quilts in other people's hands and what they do, it's not only the person receiving the quilt, but I remember when my daughter had surgery, I brought a quilt into her, I laid it onto her, and I had firsthand experience. The nurses would come in and they would, you know, they would call the other nurses in, and they would call from different wards come in, and the doctors would come in, and it ministered to everybody, and it touched everybody. And so it was like God's word was on the move. It's in the mission field, and it doesn't go void. Doesn't matter who touches it, who sees it. And then when I got to meet Becky and knowing she was in Helping Hands, I thought, this is a perfect opportunity that we can share the love of quilting and God's word and get it out to those in need. So that's...
Yeah, for those that don't know, I mean, I spent a number of years as a chaplain with the police department, so I was the guy that got the call when, you know, somebody passes away, and the officers deal with the practical, and they often like, you know, somebody else to come along inside and help deal with the emotional, the spiritual. And so when you're giving someone news, you know, that a loved one has passed away, when you're called to come alongside, you know, there's obviously, there's no words. We talk about a ministry of presence, just being able to be there and, you know, to see God move, the comforter. Like, that's one of the reasons why, you know, the Bible gives him that description.
The comforter.
And and it's amazing how, like you just said, that tangible expression of God's word, of love. We've had a few times where I've been able to, whether with some of our widows, whether with some, I mean, I'm thinking of Chet, and we'll get into more of these stories too, you know, as people are nearing the finish line, you know, and they've got their blanket, and although they may have almost to the point where they have trouble speaking, they're not so mobile, but it's like you see them holding onto this, not just the blanket, but it's like you can see the scriptures and the families, like we really are covering them with prayers, with promises, with God's word. Maybe, Noah, you can do me a favor. Can we, for at least the camera, because we're talking about these quilts, and I don't know, I don't think people really, every time I've handed one of these out, I just watch the jaw hit the ground, and people are just so overwhelmed. Like, these are, you guys can get it on the screen here, but these are different verses. You know, it's not just one kind of pattern duplicated, but each one of these verses, promises, truths, scriptures, and all the time the blankets are different. You know, you and your team.
And we pray over them too. When we're sewing on our sewing machine, we're praying over these quilts. We don't know where they're going to go, but God does. He knows exactly where they're going to go. And
I'm not sure if they can see this, but this whole backside is.
Yeah. Yeah. It really, it is a labor of love, literally. And most of the time, we don't always like get to see the connections. I'm love to hear some of the stories, but when I've personally been able to drop them off and see the impact or see the fruit of it, it has been a really powerful way in a season where people are dealing with loss, grief, needing something to hold on to. These have been little anchors, you know, talk about for such a time as this. So, yeah, so for those of you guys watching, when we reference the quilt or sewing, that's what we're talking about. These are the things that have been handed out. Now, Becky, how do we even know where to send these things? How does the church, you know, get an idea where we've got a gift like this and then somehow it gets into people's hands? Where does Helping Hands come into all this?
Well, that's what I was going to mention right now is like when we're sewing, we're praying over the quilts, you know, and just asking the Lord to bless this person that's going to receive it. Whoever that's going to be, we don't know. And then the Lord starts impressing in our hearts, you know, maybe a certain person that it just happened a couple of weeks ago, a person that's been sick for a while, and I've been talking to her off and on. And the Lord just kept putting her in my heart. So I called her and I told her on Sunday, I want to give you something. So I presented the quilt to her, and then she shared that she had been going through something really hard, you know, so it's just, and then she sends me a picture, you know, of her cuddling up with the quilt, you know, and just last week, one was sent to Texas, because we had a pastor friend and his wife visit, And she's telling me about her friend that's going through, you know, challenges. And Noah says, well, have you seen the quilts they're making? And so we send her one, and then she also sent us a picture, and she's saying, so now I'm going to spend my time recuperating memorizing this Bible verses, you know. And just stories like that, you know, that, of course, when we get the prayer request, you know, and we see that somebody needs one, then we'll pairing them up with bringing a meal, maybe, and maybe a quilt, you know.
Right.
And when we take them to the hospital, of course, there's no meal, but we still take the the quilt. And like Tony was saying, you know, the nurses are coming in, and they're just like in awe of how beautiful they are. And then the last time I visited someone at the hospital, the nurse got to pray with us, you know, because she was going to check the lady that I was visiting. And I told her, well, I'm going to leave. I go, but can I pray with her before I leave? And she goes, sure. And I said, would you like to pray with us? So she stayed there and she prayed with us, you know. And she was like, when I left, she was out at the desk telling everyone, you know, about the quilt and how we prayed. And she thanked me for praying with her. And, you know, so just like Tony says, you know, they're just touching lives everywhere, you know. So it's
And these are labor intense, right? So you know that there's a lot of sweat that goes into them. And as they sweat on them and it drops onto the quilts, you can, for $59.95.
Yeah.
Just kidding, obviously. But there's an incredible amount of work that goes into these. And to see where Becky has come from with her sewing abilities and where she is now, and it's incredible to see how these go together. And the amount of time and labor and love that goes into them, and then to see the finished product kind of behind the scenes is really great. But then the icing on the cake is when you give them away.
Now, there's a team right now of about how many that are getting together to learn how to do this and be a part of this process?
About 10.
8 to 10. That is, and again, different levels, people just starting, but people who are being a part of what this, each one of these finished products.
And some people, like Becky came and she wanted to learn how to sew.
Right.
We've got several ladies who want to learn how to sew, and so we're teaching them how to sew. And other ones just want to come for, there's cutting, there's ironing, washing, there's all kinds of steps to involve that doesn't involve sewing at all.
Right.
But it's all very important.
Yeah.
And yeah, to make and we had a good head start because Calvary Chapel of Henderson, knowing that was placed on my heart to do something here in this ministry, had sent us started us off with about 100 kits.
Wow.
So
That's amazing.
Yes.
And to think of how they've, that fruit is multiplying, you know, in the lives of people here. Very, very cool.
Yes.
We've given away over 40 of them already, right?
Yeah, about 45 now we've given. 40,
45, 50, 55.
Yeah. Now, this is part of what Helping Hands does. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is one of the resources that go into the hands that you're helping. Mm-hmm. But these things, handing out blankets, isn't the only thing that Helping Hands does. You guys are really our bridge, both to the community and to the body. Helping Hands is kind of our practical meeting of needs, you know, meeting people right where they're at. When we get the calls, when we get the texts, you know, it's kind of like, all right, step two, how do we mobilize? How do we, you know?
Well, and so, Helping Hands is just what it says it is. It's Helping Hands. And it's not Noah and I, it's the church,
right?
The church, you know, coming together and going out there to, you know, meet the needs of the church and the community, really. Because all we do is like maybe based on the prayer request or on a phone call or whatever, I usually have several people who have signed up to be part of the team. But now that we have a band for the women's ministry, the request also goes out to them. And so everyone and anyone that wants to step up, they will. They will do it, you know. And, of course, right now, because of COVID and all that, we're not doing physical meals, but we're doing like Grubhub carts, you know, or even if it's a phone call or a text or
DoorDash.
What I was going to say also, if someone needs to move, you know, then we call on the young, strong guys, you know,
Studly guys.
To step in, you know, and come and help people move. And some of us might help them pack, you know.
Right.
And like I said, it's a church effort. It's not just us. You know, we're just the ones that put out the notices to the people, you know, and then everyone and anyone that wants to, you know, step up, they do, you know.
So when we encourage people, we say, hey, you know, there's opportunities to get involved in ministry. Sometimes it's just being on that, you know, list. It doesn't mean every week you're helping somebody move or every week you're dropping off a meal, but as the requests go out, you know, then people can say, hey, I can do that, or I can help with that.
Mm-hmm.
When the school district, and that's been something that's really grown, it's opened up so many doors the last year and a half, but mm-hmm. As we've been able to go put together meals, sometimes it's helping hands, reaching out to the families to check in. Hey, you know, can we drop off something? Is there a particular need? Yeah. Can we pray for you?
Yeah, usually I make the weekly phone calls, you know, so I talk to most of the families, and, you know, it's been nice because I feel like I'm getting to know them now, even though I don't really know them face to face. But, you know, just inviting them to church and just, you know, even some of them asking them if we can put them on the prayer request for whatever they're going through, you know. So, it's been a blessing to be able to do those things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big top. When we talk about helping, it's just, there's a lot of different ways that we help. You know, you were coming alongside helping Chet, you know, whether it was helping him transition his business, helping him pack up the house, helping organize a team as we were coming weekly and praying and supporting. We've had some of our families who are battling cancer and organizing help and support for them. Like, this is really, you know, it sounds like a small thing we talk about, but it really is. There's so many different ways in which this is how we as a church, you know, step out and meet needs.
Yes, and it's infectious. Usually we see a lot of times as we reach out and help others, a lot of times there'll be those that haven't been involved, and they receive a mail or they receive a card in the mail or they receive a quilt, and it just touches their heart. And they go, I can do that.
That's the comforting others with the comfort we have received. Second Corinthians, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort. And we're like, yes, amen.
And quilts.
Yeah. And it says, who comforts us in all our tribulation so that we might be able to comfort others. And that's what I continue to see in some of this, like this is kind of our comfort ministry. It means to come alongside, to come in, to, you know, bless people. And it's interesting to see how when people have received that desire, like you said, to be involved in, like, wow, I want to be a blessing to somebody else, or how can I do that?
This is definitely a ministry that anybody can be part of, you know.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that the Holy Spirit always knows, obviously, who, what, when, and where to coordinate things. Becky will get a tug on her heart to send a card off, and a couple of days later, she'll get a phone call that just says, you wouldn't believe where I was or what was going on when I received that card. And things like that, and the quilts. You mentioned Chet and Steve Taver and a few others that have gotten and received them. And the same situation as they receive it. Of course, it's not expected. It's totally surprised. And it's exactly what they needed. A lot of them, some of them, don't even want to disgrace their bed with them. They hang them on the wall above their bed, and so that they can be reminded and read the scriptures and what not have you. But again, the Holy Spirit just knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. And then He uses those that open themselves up to the calling of the Holy Spirit. And again, it's anybody and everybody's ability to be a part of that and experience that. And all you have to do is be willing and say, Lord, send me, use me.
Yeah.
And he will in ways that we were talking about the study the other day about our preconceived ideas of how the Holy Spirit works and putting him in a box. And he definitely likes to surprise us and outside the box.
Mm.
And just at the time you think you know, we realize that we have no clue. And he does, and he's always spot on. And it's a blessing to see the working of the Holy Spirit when he moves. He starts moving, and you see a little sliver here, and you go, okay, that's cool. I can you know, be a part of that. Or, and then all of a sudden, it's like the scripture talks about we see through a glass dimly now, and when we get home, it's going to be clear. As sharp as a bell. And that's kind of what happens when the Holy Spirit opens up the door. We see that little sliver of light, and then as we start walking towards it in obedience, the door opens up wider, and we're able to see the amazing things that he has for us. And that's only a sliver of what he has and what he wants to do.
Well, that sets me up kind of for my next question. Let's brag on the Holy Spirit a little bit, you know, because we're just the vessels. We get to be a part of it, and sometimes we get to see it. And the church doesn't, we talk about this when we pray over the tithes and offerings. Like the church doesn't necessarily know that these resources, you know, these are some of the ways that we get to go sprinkle them out and scatter the seed. Yes. And they don't always get to hear the aha moments of like, wow, how did you know? And we say, well, it's the Holy Spirit. But when you think about some of those Holy Spirit moments where you just were like, wow, the Lord knew that that person needed that thing or knew that they needed that phone call or this connection. Can you give me a testimony or just an example? We'll brag on the Holy Spirit a little bit as some things that you've seen him do recently that maybe the church hasn't had a chance to hear about.
Definitely. First of all, it is a privilege to be, you know, the hands and feet of Jesus, you know, as a church, you know, because that's what this is. And, without saying names, you know, like I was saying earlier, you know, this person that was the Lord just put in my heart, you know, and even though I text with her every now and then we see each other at church, it was just like, you know, just there the whole time, you know, and then I thought, oh, a quilt, you know, because even though we've been talking for a while and stuff, and also another lady that she had asked for prayer, and the Lord just put it on my heart to call her, you know. And I was like, a lot of times you don't want to take the time, or you don't want to take, you know. So I texted her and asked her, how are you doing? And she just happened to be at the doctor's at that time and said, you know, oh, you remembered. Remember that I was coming to the doctor's today. And it really wasn't me. It was all the Holy Spirit that kept putting her in my heart. You know, it's like, kind of like, okay, I guess I'll obey and make that phone call, you know, or send that text. But yeah, definitely that happens often when we're, you know, just sewing and thinking of somebody. And before we know it, we take the quilt to that person. And it's just amazing how they say it touches their hearts. You know, I've had someone texted me yesterday, and I offer a quilt for a friend that is sick, and she said she was going to check with her, but she says, I sleep with mine every night. And I said, it's so good to hear that you're being comforted by it, you know, and by his word, really, you know, and being there with you. It's just a blessing to be.
So should they be comforters or should they be quilts?
They're comforting quilts.
Comfort quilts.
I remember you know, like with the families that we drop off food for. I remember one family, because they didn't necessarily know. I mean, the school district, the principals, they know the families are in need. They let us know and ask, hey, could you be of help? And so some of these families, we've been for months, but I remember knocking on the door, coming up, and we're like, hey, you know, we've got some groceries here for you that can we drop off? And it's like, how did you know? And you watch as the tears are starting to come to their eyes, and we're just saying, hey, well, we're with this church, and, you know, God's given us an opportunity to help. And then you're able to say, well, God knew. He knew that you guys needed some help. And even with my limited Spanish, you know, and you have a child translating to a parent, you know, and you hear the parents start talking to the kid, and they're explaining, okay, hold on. We were just having this moment because my mom was saying, well, we were praying, and then God knew it. Here, they're having this whole moment, this testimony of, like, to see us at their door dropping off food was an affirmation that God saw me, and he did hear our cries. And was another family with special needs, and they got eight kids. And for us to show up when they're just like, man, we were so overwhelmed. We didn't know what to do. And not only do we get to drop off food, but we get to pray and build a relationship. And so these types of, I mean, the church doesn't always get to see the faces and the smiles and the tears, but, like, it's real. The seeds that are being sown in our community, the people who are experiencing, you know, who are going through loss and grief, who are feeling comforted, wrapped up in God's love, literally, you know. I remember one of the gals that I get to work with, one of the widows, and after meeting with her for a couple of months, you know, being able to say, I have a gift for you. And as she opened it up, and you could just see the what? And the thinking about, as someone who understood the kind of effort that went into it, like, for me, like, really, and the value, you know, of being able to hold on to that, just not only did it remind her that she's not alone, but, like, there's a church family she doesn't even really know that would put all that effort out to just want her to know that she is loved.
Yes.
When you think of some, because we're just, these are a couple of stories, but are there some bragging on the Holy Spirit stories of where we can just say, yeah, it was really neat how God knew and did this?
Well, I was a recipient last week when I was in the hospital of Helping Hands because I just mentioned I was in the hospital and I got barraged with all kinds of text messages, and it was comforting to me. And
I offer her a quilt.
Yeah.
He said, I have something for you. Yeah, yeah.
But the not only the urging with me with the Holy Spirit went giving the quilts away or even dropping a card in the mail, but I have to tell you, the Holy Spirit works through my husband tremendously.
We are grateful for Don.
And I'm sure with Noah, too, as well, because he will be the one. And I can tell you a time we were traveling, we would go back and forth to Henderson, and we had all our doctors here, and so we'd make our appointments, and we were planning our trip, and we packed the car, and we were ready to pull the car out, and my husband said, maybe you should bring some quilts with you. Okay, I said, I have some to sew. I'll do the binding on the way. And so we went right to the dentist, and we were in the dentist office, and I was sitting in the waiting room waiting for him, and the gal, the receptionist, was talking, and she started crying. And I said, oh, my goodness, what's wrong? And, you know, I know she was a Christian, and can I pray for you? And she told me that her husband was not feeling well and blah, blah, blah. And meantime, Don came out of the room, and I said, get the quilt. And we wouldn't have had the quilt.
Right.
So it was, you know, we're 250 miles away from a quilt. And so the Holy Spirit urges him too as well. And he's been pretty much the biggest proponent for this ministry. I mean, he's always looking for fabric on sale.
So, yeah, he is.
Yeah, and so I think, like with Becky, we get something in our mind and say, you know, drop a card in the mail, pick up the phone and call somebody.
Right.
Or I always make it a point, and I think, Becky, you do too, the same thing, is we always keep a quilt in the car.
Mm.
Always keep a quilt in the car because
come you, fully loaded.
Come fully loaded. I come fully loaded with with God's word. And so because you just don't know. The urging comes and you're prepared.
Yeah. And I think one of the reasons we tend to see the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit, you know, working in these areas, like it's not a surprise. You know, it's like, you know, digging where there's soft soil. You know, these are the kinds of things that Jesus, when he kind of gave us some instructions about the church, we look in Scripture and we say, okay, what are some areas, you know, as a healthy church, a good church, they say these are the kinds of things that you should see in a church. Jesus said, as he was encouraging, I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. Like, he said, when you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Like, this is Jesus's heart. This is how people would know the church. You know my disciples by your love. So when we tend to line up our plans with God's promise, say, okay, we want our ministries to reflect these things, and then we see all these different doors that God opens up and things, we're like, well, it's because we're kind of doing what God had asked us to do. But it's also in this area, I mean, the Bible talks about in the book of James, you know, what is pure and undefiled, you know, religion. And this idea of having a heart for orphans and widows, like, this is God's heart. It's in Scripture. There's different information and directions about how the church, because this is part of what the church has been known for as a body. And having a ministry or even a ministry mindset, an ethos, if you will, that, hey, we're going to make the things that are important to God important to us. So Holy Spirit's given great creativity in the way our church is outletting that, you know. But these are things that are near and dear to God's heart. Like, this is stuff that's not new to us. This has been kind of the mandate for, like, what God wants to see from the church. Even as Paul would say, look, we are to bear one another's burdens, you know, that it's not meant to just be like, oh, you know, like, it is our privilege to come alongside those that are sick and hurting. And it's overwhelming and challenging at times, but, like, this is what God has part of. He's poured out his Holy Spirit to equip us to do these things. And sometimes we get to see miracles happen. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the miracle is we get to be there and hold their hand at the finish line and get excited about heaven. Like, that's the other miracle. Like, wow, you know, we have this hope, this confidence, this peace. As you guys think about this idea of, like, this is God's heart for the church. This is part of the instruction manual for church. How do you see some of these ministries lining up with that? Like, these are things that you know from God's word that we as a church should be involved with. How do you see this as an extension of God's heart, of being faithful with some of the things that he's called us to do as a church?
Well, you know, his word tells us that he came to serve, not to be served, right? And our efforts to be like him, helping hands, pretty much, we have our hands in a lot of different things, you know, and we try to do as he did, you know. And interesting, because this morning we were talking about someone had a new baby, and after the conversation I started thinking, you know, when there's a new baby, the world starts revolving around this baby, right?
Yeah.
So we kind of, I guess we grew up with that idea, you know, if the baby's sleeping, be quiet because the baby's sleeping. You know, if the baby cries, everybody jumps to go take care of the baby, you know. So we are kind of used to, like, the world revolving around us, you know. So it's just like focusing on Jesus and focusing on being more like him, you know. Mm. And that's what Helping Hands is, you know. We just try to do our best to be his hands and feet, you know, and in the church, in the city, and, you know, wherever the Lord calls us to be, you know. And I've always said, I really don't know how to do anything, but yet he's using me, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
Humble spirit. yeah, and as Becky reminded us, as we were talking about some of the things we wanted to mention, one of the, as we were taking over the transition from Lisa and Bill, she mentioned that in our wedding, we had these, when we finished up the ceremony, we took out these aprons and we adorned each other with these aprons, and everybody's, this is a wedding. This isn't this isn't like the reception. And I had put some graphics on the aprons to the effect that we are here to serve. Mm. And we're not going to have somebody serve you. We're going to serve you.
Right.
And that was Becky's moment of epiphany. She goes, oh, yeah. And that's when we took over the ministry, that was our heart was to serve. And so I think when the Holy Spirit came along and needed to make that transition, because
the Bill Holy Spirit and Lisa was paying really good attention.
We've had some yes.
Lisa Schwimmer, if you're watching.
Yeah, amazing people yes. carrying this torch.
Yes.
You know,
and thinking amazing people, I just wanted to put out a shout out to all, to a there's so many, but those in particular, like Gene Thorpe, when he helps me with the groceries, when we do the grocery shopping.
Right.
The Lord could not have put together a better team. I was thinking as we were starting to do the shopping, it's you know, it's a chore, so it takes time. And I'm thinking, Gene, okay. So, you know, obviously Gene's a little bit older, and I'm thinking, okay, am I going to have him keep up with me?
You got to keep up with him.
When we get to the yeah. store, we go off and we're on a dead run, and we both know the store, and he was amazing. He was like
hunter gatherer.
He was like right behind me. We took two shopping carts, and he's like right on my heels, and it's like I don't dare slow down because I'll get run over by the. And it's amazing. He just everything. It's the Holy Spirit could not have put a better team together, because we're both on the same page. We both think alike. We're in. We get it done. Get out. And then Peter Bright. Peter, when we do the Bible studies,
right?
He's there with the worship music, and he's ready to roll, and he's got it down. It's like one of those things you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, how many hospital calls have I walked in and Peter's already there doing worship, yes. and the hospital floor is waiting. They're like, yeah. heads are out of their room, you know, because they just love the worship.
And Steve Tarver, another, just has a super heart for the Lord, always calling me, asking me, what can I do? What can I pray for? And not just what can I do, but then he goes in, starts praying. You know, let me pray for you. Let me pray for, you know, and Greg and Monica. Just a lot of
right
those that go into making helping hands
yeah.
What it is. And again, being used to the Lord.
Yeah, this is definitely not a one-man show. Ooh, ministry. I mean, yeah. we've got our prayer list, which is kind of where it starts. When we say, hey, text in your prayer request, you know, there's a number of yes. people who get that request to immediately start praying, but it's always the prayer that seems to stir up kind of a, well, what if we were able to do this? Or what if we, because we're not in a position, we're a smaller church financially, we don't have the resources to solve every problem and fix, but the Lord knows.
Yes.
You know,
and the Lord
he kind of shows us how to push the buttons, where we can lend a support, where we can just come alongside and pray and see what God does. But like you said, we starts to mobilize this team, you know, of prayer warriors and people that are like, well, what if we did this and that? And yes. that part of our church, you know, I don't think people really fully understand just how many amazing
yes.
foot washers and servants, yes. people that are just like, this is how they feel like they can help serve Jesus and serve the church, is by meeting real needs, you know, coming
like
alongside
you mentioned,
people.
Hannah. World control, you know, she coordinates everything that comes in and goes out, and like you said, all the untold heroes that
yeah.
that are behind the scenes, and obviously we give the glory to the Lord, but again, the Word talks about giving honor where honor's due, and it's amazing, because all this, like you said, all this could not happen
right.
without a multitude behind the scenes and being yeah. obedient.
Yeah, and when you had this vision with the quilts and things like that, as you're thinking about how you felt like God showed you this is what it was supposed to look like. How did you kind of see this as that, like an extension of God's heart, like weaving in scripture and all of this, you know, just and different verses? You know, that must have been something that God kind of impressed beyond just the gifting of like, hey, we do lots of colors or pictures. Like, this really seems to be something that, you know, God's given you kind of a vision for.
Well, you get the correct word, stitch and press and all the right terminology.
Yeah.
Well, I think it just, you know, I asked the Lord, I want to be used. Just use me. I can work with my hands. In helping hands, I can work with my hands.
Yes.
The scripture is because, you know, we want to stay, we're in servant school, we want to stay, you know, in the Word every day. And sewing, I'm sewing the scripture, I'm looking at the scripture every day. It's like, and I think too, when people receive the quilt, some have forgot their first love.
Mm.
And so when they see the Word of God, they remember their first love.
Right.
And I think that's what brings me the most joy,
yeah.
That to bring and to be about our Father's business in these last times.
Yeah,
I want to be. I would love to be at my sewing machine at the rapture.
Yeah,
that might happen.
Hey, that's right. I was about my Father's business.
I want to be about my Father's business. And so I think the two hand in hand, like I said, the Lord met me at my sewing machine. And it's a way that I can read God's word and sew at the same time.
Well, it's one of those things where we do. We see that the Word of God does not return void.
No.
And we watch God take that garment of heaviness, and it's like they just get this blanket of praise, this comfort, you know, where the Word of God, that sense of they know the work that goes into them. They're amazing. They're phenomenal. But they realize that you didn't go buy it from,
exactly.
from a factory, that someone has had to take time. And I think when people are hurting, when people are feeling alone, when people are feeling like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen next. That's that little bit of an anchor. It's a sail that the Holy Spirit can just kind of give them some breath, some encouragement. And we've seen it over and over and over again. So it really is such a sweet extension of the heart of God to put His word into action in a very tangible way to let them, you know, it's like when Jesus is like, touch me, the word made flesh. And this is kind of our little way of seeing it come to life for people.
And they are all handmade, and you can tell, like you'd mentioned, it's not a store-bought item.
Yeah.
Not that that diminishes when you're giving a gift, but when you see something that is of this quality, handmade, it just puts you in awe. And the scriptures, even on the scriptures, those are hand done. They're not stitched in.
Right.
They're somebody has taken the time to write them out by hand.
Yeah.
And then they
it
go
matters.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they are sowing seeds.
Amen.
Yes.
And we named our group really from the book of Acts, since you were...
We've been in there a little while.
About sowing seeds, except ours is S-E-W-I-N-G.
Ah.
But we're still sowing seeds.
Love
and these
it.
Are our seeds. And two, we have different scriptures for children.
Uh-huh.
We have a children's, it's a little bit smaller, and we have more relevant scriptures that are more... for children.
And Spanish.
And we started doing ones in Spanish.
Wow.
And little things like at first, when they were putting the scriptures on the back, they had orientated them to the same direction as the front. And one day, there was a mistake made, and they put them on upside down. And then it was discovered, oh, that even works better, because as you're pulling it up and you're folding it over, you get a chance to read.
Like, hey, yeah, funny how all these things work together. Well, let me close out with a couple of quick, just for those that are watching it. Maybe they didn't catch it the first time. But for somebody maybe hearing and thinking, wow, that actually sounds really exciting, really powerful. I'd love to get involved or more involved. Give me kind of step one, step two, A, of how they can get involved. What does that look like? Are you guys meeting weekly, monthly, or with the helping hands? Where do they start? So, Tony, how often are you guys getting, or is your group currently meeting right now?
We meet on the first and the third Saturday of the month.
Okay.
From 10 o'clock to whenever.
Yeah.
At my house. And then...
Do they already have to have super sewing skills to be
no,
a part of this?
No. Becky can attest to that. In fact, there's three ladies that are sewing scripture quilts, and I don't think any of them had sewing experience whatsoever.
Wow.
So we've got a couple of very experienced sewers that come alongside of these ladies who want to learn how to sew. And they're very patient and giving of their time. And everything is volunteer. Everything is donated. And many of us put our own money into it, too, as well. And so anybody who would like to donate fabric or anything else, we could use any of that.
Yes.
there's a wonderful fellowship when we do meet. We have a wonderful time, and we get to meet new people. And we have all age groups. We have from young to us oldsters.
And you remember as Moses came down from the mountain, he had to put a veil over his face because of the glow, right? And that's what happens when Becky comes home from the sewing.
They're all glowing.
She has this glow about her, and sometimes she has to veil it a little bit.
Now, with the helping hands side of it, if people were like, hey, I'd love to go drop off some food, or I could be a part
of
shopping.
8675309. No.
Well, with helping hands, come, you know, you can pray for us.
Right.
You can give us your information, you know, your contact information, if you want to be part of the core group.
So we have you on the list.
And
yes.
when a need comes up, I usually send out the text, you know, and, you know, step up where the needs are needed, you know. We have some people that say, well, I really can't do too much, so I'm going to be donating
yes.
to the church for the ministry.
Yeah.
So we have a specific lady that does that. And, of course, prayer is always welcome, you know.
And you can't outgive the Lord, whether it's your time, your resources, your money, whatever. When you help, it's amazing because in your time of need, you discover that there's a floodgate that opens up to you. And even though the Lord will bless you regardless of whether or not you are a part of the ministry or not, when you give, he says, see that I won't give back and a hundredfold, and your cup runneth over. And
this is a place where people are seeing real fruit in their own lives, that willingness to step out and, you know, meet a need and serve someone. You experience the Holy Spirit working through you. And then for those that are faithfully giving to our church, this is one of the ways where they don't always get a chance to think of our missionaries. But locally, when we think about Fullerton and the way that we are impacting our community in Orange County, this is one of the things that their tithes and offerings are a part of, is planting these seeds, helping, you know, be a part of this ministry. And like you said, tithing is it's part of being obedient with our finances, but it's not just finances. Like that, giving of our time, giving of our talents, using our gifts, all of a sudden, who knows how it could change someone's life.
And it's going to be amazing, because when we get home, there's going to be a lot of surprises. And one of the surprises is our rewards. And we're going to go, when did we see you, and when did we give you a cup of cold water, and when did we do these things? And he's going to go, he's going to say, when you did that to the least.
Yeah.
And the things that we do unsuspecting or untelegraphed or not looking to be received gratification for, as they become a habit or a response to the Holy Spirit, an answering or an automatic response, we don't even think about the things we do. And then one day the Lord's going to be giving us some rewards for those things. Not that we do it for the reward, but we're going to be surprised when he starts showing us and reminding us of all these little things that were done for him in his name. So
we're grateful for what you guys are doing in his name. And as a church, we're so excited to hear some of these testimonies and to be able to help connect the body a little bit to what's happened and give an invitation. We'd love to see this continue to grow. And that just requires more people willing to say yes, more people willing to be a part of seeing these smiles and tears and moments and watching God do these amazing things. So thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you guys for where you've done in secret, the things that only the Lord knows. And it's bearing fruit. We're seeing people's hearts and we're seeing that connection, that confidence in God's love because of your guys' faithfulness. So thank you guys.
It's a blessing to be used.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's
brings
pray.
A whole new meaning to being used, right?
In a good way.
Yeah.
Jesus, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you first, Lord, for your example, washing our feet, touching the lepers, calling us into yourself, Lord. How, Lord, this has really set the tone for all of us to want to be of use, Lord. We're like Peter, just learning how to be fishers of men, to take these gifts, these tools, these talents, and Lord, when we put them in your hands, to use them for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you have been doing in all of these areas. Lord, we thank you for Don and for Tony. We thank you, Lord, for Noah and Becky. We thank you for the many, Lord, who are unnamed right now that you know as they are involved in both of these ministries behind the scenes and in how they go out. Lord, we pray for the seeds that have been planted all over the city. Lord, how each blanket, each food, each card, each phone call, each text, Lord, you know exactly how, Lord, it is bearing fruit. And we would ask, Lord, that you would continue to raise up laborers for the harvest. Lord, we want to be about your business before you come home. Thank you, Lord, for the heart, the love that you've given this church, and for the open doors, the ways that we're able to serve. So God, would you just continue to lead us, guide us, direct us, and provide for us? We ask these things in Jesus' name, all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So thank you, guys. We're hoping that each Thursday night you are getting more excited about what God is doing here in Fullerton and through Calvary Fullerton. And as you guys are learning about the team, maybe on a Sunday, come up, say hi, you know. But if this is something that you are interested, text the church. 714-879-3314. Let us know what's on your heart. Maybe the things that you're hearing about the quilting ministry, maybe being involved, whether it's getting the prayer request or being a part of the team that we can let you know, hey, would you like to be a help? Or maybe there's someone that you know is in need of some help and we'll come alongside and see what we can do. Again, reach out to the church, 714-879-3314. But we want you guys to know we love you. Jesus loves you, and we can't wait to see you again on Sunday. All right, God bless. We'll see you guys soon.